Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we've come to hear your word this morning and to praise you for all the things that you have done for us. We're here, Lord, to submit our lives to you and say you are God and God alone. And Lord, we're here to realize that you are the God who takes us where we are and brings us to where we need to be. So Lord, help us this morning to put our hands in your hand. Help us, Lord, to be led by the Holy Spirit every single day of our lives. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Amen. There was a man going to work one morning when he was pulled over by the OPP. The officer walked up to the man's car and said, "Sir, did you not see the stop sign?" The man replied, "I have been traveling this highway for 20 years and have never stopped at that stop sign." The officer said, "Well, you will now," and handed him a ticket. The very next morning, the same officer was called to investigate a car wreck at the very same stop sign. Much to his amazement, when he got to the first car, it was the very man he had given a ticket to the morning before. The officer asked what had happened. The man said, "Don't ask me, ask the man that hit me from behind." So the officer walked to the back of the back to the second car and inquired of the second man what had happened. The man exclaimed, "It's not my fault I hit him. I've been following him for 20 years. He's never stopped there before." These two men had been stuck in a rut for 20 years, and finally it caught up with them. You know, sometimes it is all too easy to be stuck in a rut, going through the same things, the same motions day after day after day. Sometimes those things are necessary, but at other times, the ruts of life hold us back from being everything that God wants us to be. Sometimes we don't like those ruts. We feel that we are stuck. We feel that we are on a journey that we don't really want to be on, heading in a way that our hearts don't want to go. But we have to move forward anyway. Sometimes it's a rut in our career, in our family life, in our relationships, or even in our Christian life. At other times, we're quite happy to be stuck in our own little ruts. Things are going well, and all that is expected of us is to do this and this and this, with no other expectations, no other responsibilities. Life is mundane, but manageable. Thank you very much. Some people are stuck in their own comfort zones, and that is exactly where they want to stay. Some of us are stuck in ruts we want out of. And some of us are stuck in ruts that we don't want out of, but all of us are stuck in some sort of rut. However, no matter what we may think about the ruts of life, God wants us out of those ruts. He doesn't like ruts. Just look at the life of Jesus, always forging a new path for the glory of God. If we're in a difficult situation, the Lord wants to help us get out. And if we're stuck in our comfort zones, He also wants to help us get out, so that you and I can become the people that He truly wants us to be. Either way, we have to get out of the ruts that we're in. As I was looking at this passage about the life of Gideon, I noticed that the Lord provides 4 points in the reading that was given today. 4 points that help us get out of the ruts that we find ourselves in life. And because I like acronyms, the points are RUTS. And yeah, Dale, I'm almost as old as you, but I figured that out all by myself. And I think it's pretty appropriate. I had to throw that in there, by the way. Because our boy Gideon was stuck in a rut. Literally. He was hiding in a wine press that had been dug out of the ground. He was hiding from the oppression that threatened him, trying to escape the difficulties that lay beyond his gaze. But even though he thought that the rut was giving him protection, it was actually the rut that was holding him back from victory. It was this comfort zone that was holding Gideon back from being the man that God wanted him to be. Just like the ruts and the comfort zones in our life will hold us back from our God-given potential. So, God showed up. Just as God shows up in our lives and told Gideon how to get out of the rut and how to move forward with the life that God had really planned for him. As I said last week, these stories that are in the Bible aren't there to entertain us or to show us how good God is in the lives of other people. But God put these stories in the Bible to show us what he wants to do for us and to show us what he wants us to do for him. So let's take a look at verse 15 and see what we need to do to get out of the ruts of life. After the Lord told Gideon that things had to change and they had to do some great things for God, Gideon said to the Lord, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." Does that sound familiar? How often do we find excuses not to do what God wants us to do? Now, I'm not talking about God showing up to you in the middle of the night and telling you to change something in world history. Just talking about the basics, like coming to church or going to Bible study, helping out at church or giving of your time and money. You know, those things that require that we get out of the rut of doing things our way. We know that we should be doing these things, that we come up with all sorts of excuses like, "Well, the kids are busy on Sunday morning. My favorite show is on Wednesday evening. I really don't have time to help out at church. I have to cut the grass or, like today, shovel the snow." And the list goes on and on. We always seem to be able to come up with lots and lots of excuses to do what the flesh wants to do, and lots and lots of excuses to not do what God wants us to do. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25 and 29? He said, "To those who use well what they are given, to those who have been faithful in these little things, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with what little they have, it will be taken away." When you and I quit making excuses and become faithful in those little things, then we can expect God to show up in big ways in our lives and do big things in and through us. Gideon started to make excuses, but I will give this to Gideon. He used the right kind of excuses with God. He didn't say, "Well, I have more important things to do." He said, "How can I rescue Israel? How can I do this great thing for God? I'm a nobody from a family of nobodies." Gideon's excuse was a good excuse because it placed him exactly where God needed him to be, in a place of humility. Gideon realized, and that's the R in rut, Gideon realized that he just couldn't do it himself. And that's probably the reason that God chose Gideon to save Israel from her enemies. He wasn't proud. He knew that he just couldn't do it. The odds were just too great. With him, it was impossible. I think that you and I can very often feel the same way at times. Perhaps the Lord has shown up in your life. Maybe he has spoken through the Bible, or in your prayer time, or in your life situation, in your relationship situation, and has said, "Something has to change. I want to bring you from where you are to where I want you to be. It's time for you to have victory in your life. It's time for breakthrough. It's time for you to start living the abundant life, a life of purpose and meaning. It's time to get out of the rut. It's time to get out of your comfort zone." But we know that we just can't do it on our own, because it may mean changing some things in our life or letting go of some things and doing new things God's way. Perhaps God is telling you to let go of some things in your life that are holding you back. Or perhaps he is telling you to step out in faith and to do something brand new. When the Lord speaks to our hearts like that, it can be overwhelming. It can be scary. But it's good for us to know that We can't do any of these things on our own. And when we know that, it's a great place to be. If we thought that we could do what God wants and needs us to do in our own strength, then we are going to fail and fail miserably. It's only when we humble ourselves, it's only when we truly realize that we can't do it on our own, that God can use us and change us in wonderful and powerful ways. So first, we need to realize that we just can't do it on our own. And second, you have to understand, and that's the you in ruts. You have to understand that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I mean, it makes sense. If we can't do it on our own, then who is going to help us, right? Well, the answer comes to us in verse 16 after Gideon said that he just didn't have what it took to get the victory in his life. In verse 16, the Lord said to Gideon, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Wow, what a promise. And it is also a promise to you and to me. One of many promises that are given to us in the Bible. Promises that when you and I look to the Lord, when we truly place our hand in His, that all things are possible. So as you think about that promise, also think about the things that you are facing in your life that just seem too big to conquer. Is it a way of thinking? An addiction? Is it a mountain of problems that threatens to fall on you? Is it a valley of depression that threatens to destroy you? Is it a storm in your life that batters at the door of your heart? Are there health issues, relationship issues, church issues, emotional issues, work issues? Whatever it is that threatens to take you down, steal your peace, your joy, and your health, whatever it is that wants to destroy you in one way or another, look up, because your salvation is near. God is there. Realize that you just can't save yourself. You're too weak. We all are. But He isn't. And understand that you can do all things through Christ. He is the Lord of heaven's armies who will defeat the enemies of your soul when you call on Him. He is the oil of Gilead who will come and soothe and heal the hurts and the pains of the past. He is the wonderful counselor who will guide you in the right ways of life. And He is the Savior who will make you whole in every way. When things have to change and you know that you don't have what it takes, change them. Remember, with God, all things are possible to those who believe. That verse comes from the story we find in Mark 9. When Jesus returned after the transfiguration, He saw a large crowd surrounding the disciples and arguing with them. We are told that when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe and they ran to greet Him. And Jesus asked them, what is all this arguing about? One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son to you so that you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." We learn that the boy was saved, was rescued from something bigger than the father could ever save him from. So whatever it is that you are facing in your life, whatever seems bigger and more powerful than you, whatever rut you feel that you are in, don't worry. Just believe. Jesus is there. Call on him and he will set you free. But something that we have to realize is this. Very often the victory we need doesn't come right away. The breakthrough in our lives isn't always an event. It's usually a process. When we call out to God for help, sometimes it feels as if nothing is changing, that nothing is happening at all, even though it is. So what do we do until we see the breakthrough in our lives? Well, we do what Gideon did before the victory came. We are told that Gideon built an altar to the Lord and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means "the Lord is peace." Now, I'm not saying that you go out this afternoon, dig under the snow, grab some rocks, and build some sort of Old Testament altar in your backyard. But what I am saying is this, that you build an altar for the Lord Jesus in your heart. How do you do that? It's simple. You make him first in your life. You come to church, you read your Bible, you pray. You serve others, you give of your time and money. Even when it is difficult and hard, you serve God. You worship God. You place him first in everything, even when the storms of life are blowing hard. And you trust. That's the T in ruts. You trust in God. You trust the words also of Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." When you and I are stuck in the ruts of life, the difficult places, the places that we shouldn't be and the places that we don't want to be, we need to trust God and put him first in our lives. And there is a test to know if we are doing that. Do you know what that is? It's what Gideon named the altar that he had built. And he named it this because this was the thing that Gideon had in his heart after putting God first in his life. He called the altar, "The Lord is peace." Before the victory will come in your life, before God gets you to where you need to be and where he wants you to be, before your breakthrough in life becomes a reality, God will give you his peace as you look to him, as you put him first, as you worship him and him alone, as you live your life to honor him despite the storms that you are facing, as you focus on his words to you in the Bible and his promises within, you will have peace. In fact, you will have a peace that the Bible says will pass all understanding. You just won't understand this God-given peace that you have. It just won't make sense to have so much peace with all the problems that you are facing. But it will be there. Why? Because you are trusting God. And because you are putting him first in all things. And that peace will be yours even before the victory comes. The last point this morning, and this is a very important one, was something that Gideon had to do before God could move powerfully in his life. And we find out what this is at the beginning of verse 25 of our reading. There we read that Gideon had to sanctify himself. And that's the S of ruts. Gideon had to get rid of anything in his life that wasn't pleasing to God. We read that the Lord said to Gideon, "Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole that is standing beside it." Before the Lord could do anything in Gideon's life, before the Lord could do some amazing things in and through Gideon, Gideon had to sanctify himself. He had to get rid of all those things in his life that were not honoring to God. It was hard for Gideon to do. And do you know what? It will likely be hard for you to do as well. Now I know that you don't worship the false and demonic gods of Baal and Asherah, but there is usually something in our lives that we worship besides the one true God, whether we realize it or not. And that is what the Lord is telling us to get rid of. So daily, I have to ask myself, and you should also ask yourself, what comes before God in your life? And what is holding you back from putting God first? Is it your money, your possessions, your family, yourself, your job, time spent on your iPad, your friends on Facebook? Whatever it is, we have to put it to second place in our lives and put God first. That really is the secret to changed lives. Amazing lives that are filled with joy. Do you remember what joy stands for? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. When God is truly first in our lives, we sanctify ourselves. And when we do, we allow the Holy Spirit to move in powerful ways in us and through us. Not only that, but when we constantly put God first in our lives, He is very real to us during the difficulties of life. But for those who don't put God first, God can very often seem very distant when troubles come. They seem to think that God is hiding from them, as if He has just vanished somewhere, like He's playing some cruel game of hide and seek. When I talk to people who are going through difficult times, people who haven't always put Jesus first, they very often ask me the question, where is God? To which I usually reply, I don't know. Where have you put Him? Have you hidden Him behind your love of money? Have you placed Him behind all the time that you spend at work or entertaining yourselves by playing on your iPad? You tell me where God is in your life. Where have you hidden Him? The truth is that God is always there. He's always near. But people usually can't see Him or feel His presence when they need to, because they have placed something or someone else in front of Him. So this morning, let all of us ask ourselves a very serious question. Where is God in my life? And where is God in your life? Is He hidden behind your own plans, your own dreams, your own desires? Is God just something that you add to your life to make your life feel a little better? Have you just welcomed Jesus into your life for a little while so that things will be made better? And when they are, you push Him away again? Is God placed behind your money, your family, yourselves, your job, your hobbies? Or is God first and foremost in your life? Is He the only one you serve? Or is it yourself? Gideon had to make that choice. God told him to tear down the false gods in his life and erect an altar to the Lord. Are all of us prepared to do that here this morning? If so, it won't be easy. But it will be the most important thing that we could ever do in our lives. Just imagine what the Lord could do in our lives if we were all completely submitted to Him all of the time, instead of withholding parts of our life from Him. This morning, we need to ask ourselves, are we going to submit Him as the Lord of every area of our lives, or are we going to resist? That's a question that the Lord asks all of you, and only He and you know the answer. When we put God first, it won't be easy. It will be a daily decision. Just like Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. The thing is that when we truly choose to follow Jesus, it will cost us something. For one thing, other people in our lives will notice. The people from Gideon's town noticed and they wanted to kill him. And the people around you will notice that you have totally sold out to Jesus too. Some will want to know why, and others won't want anything to do with you at all, at least for a while. But once they see what the Lord is doing in your life, they will want what you have, a living, exciting relationship with Jesus. So there we have it, getting out of the ruts of life from the story of Gideon. I may talk about him next week, I don't know yet, but this morning, if you feel that God has more for your life than what you are experiencing now, if you have God-given dreams that just aren't being realized, if you're living in a valley of depression, stuck in the ruts of life, then rejoice, because God will bring you victory, the breakthrough, so that you can live your life in the way that God wants it lived, abundantly and amazingly. All you have to do to work alongside the Lord is to remember the ruts. Realize that you just can't do it on your own. Understand that with Jesus, all things are possible. Trust in God, placing Him first in your life and knowing that as you serve Him, He will give you the peace until the victory comes. And finally, sanctify yourself. Get rid of those things in your life that don't honor God. Those things that promise you security and happiness, but steal them instead. So place the Lord and the Lord alone on the throne of your heart and watch out. The ruts of your life will come to an end, and a whole new journey for you will begin.